The National Park Service is currently developing a cultural resources management plan for Isle Royale National Park. As part of that effort, the Park Service is holding 4 public meetings or listening sessions beginning this week. Seth DePasquale is Cultural Resource Manager at Isle Royale National Park.
What we're doing, at least for these initial listening sessions, is just a way to sort of gather thoughts and impressions that the general public has about cultural resources on Isle Royale National Park and, you know, how they think the park maybe should manage these different resources on the island.
The term cultural resources refers to Isle Royale's human history, which dates back more than 4,000 years.
It's a thick, rich history and prehistory out here. It's hard to get away from the fact that people have been out here for so long, and it's very tangible. It's not like the prehistoric presence is gone. You can see very vivid reflections of their presence on the island just through some of the mining features that they left behind.
More recent human history on Isle Royale dates back to the 1800s, when a wave of Scandinavian immigrants arrived in northeastern Minnesota, establishing small-scale family fishing operations all along the North Shore and on Isle Royale. By 1925, there were an estimated 75 small fishing operations on Isle Royale, referred to in a report prepared for the National Park Service as a Scandinavian folk fishery. The island was also a popular tourist destination at the turn of the century, complete with summer residences, a resort, and a bowling alley. When efforts began in the 1930s to designate Isle Royale as a national park, the fishermen, summer cabin, and resort owners were bought out by the Park Service. Some were granted life leases, allowing them to continue using their cabins and fishing camps, but only for the remainder of the original property owner's lifetime. As the original property owners passed away, some families obtained temporary special use permits or volunteer in the park agreements, which allowed them to continue using the properties. But in many ways, this was the beginning of the end of the Scandinavian folk fishery on Isle Royale. There was no real security from year to year and little incentive to maintain the properties at their own expense. Things only got worse in the 1950s when sea lamprey invaded the Great Lakes and decimated the lake trout population. One of the main fisheries sustaining the fishermen was gone. More properties were either given up or seized by the Park Service, in some cases because occupants failed to make annual visits as required. Many buildings were burned or dismantled by the Park Service in what is now widely viewed as a misguided attempt to return the island to a state of pristine wilderness. Still, many families hung on and maintained a presence on the island that continues to this day. But they're in a constant state of limbo, unsure from year to year whether they'll be allowed to stay. This is one of the main reasons the Park Service is developing the Cultural Resources Management Plan.
That's going to be a big part of it. You know, in the past, there were quite a few agreements made between property holders when the park was established, and we're coming to terms of expiration. We need more definitive guidance on how we're going to proceed in regards to just their general management.
The Park Service has been grappling with the issue of how to deal fairly with the descendants of the original fishing families and summer cabin owners for many years. In 1998, the Park Service commissioned a study to examine the island's Scandinavian fishing culture. The report, An Ethnohistory of the Scandinavian Folk Fishery of Isle Royale National Park, was prepared by the University of Arizona and found significant cultural value in both the history and the continued presence of the fishing culture on Isle Royale. The authors recommended that the descendants of the Scandinavian folk fishermen be allowed to stay on through cooperative agreements and that they be allowed to continue fishing, serving as live-in cultural interpreters for park visitors. The report also recommended they be invited to participate with Isle Royale National Park to renegotiate the future of their relationships with the park and determine future policy for the preservation of the folk fishing cultural history there. The Park Service says it will take about 2 years to complete the Cultural Resources Management Plan. The process gets underway this week with 4 listening sessions intended to gather public input. Two meetings will take place in Minnesota and two in Michigan. One of the meetings will be held in Duluth on Wednesday, December 1st from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Radisson Hotel. For information about the other meetings, in Minneapolis on November 30th, Houghton, Michigan on December 2nd, and Lansing, Michigan on December 7th, go to WTIP.org or call Seth DePasquale at Isle Royale National Park, 906-483-7713. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Kara Thomas.